What is up, Level Up Nation, and welcome to episode 141 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news, brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined, as always, with the King of the Courts, as the King of the Courtside. His name is also Joey. Joey, welcome to the show, as always.
His name is Joey. Hey, what's up, guys? John, how was your Labor Day today?
I'm on the struggle bus, I'm not going to lie. I went to a baseball game up in DC, this morning, had some beverages, that did not agree with my stomach. So I'm hurting at the moment, actually. But other than that, I'm doing great. Joey, how was your 3-day weekend?
It was pretty good. The overall weekend was good. We were up in New Jersey this weekend with my wife's parents. So that was a lot of fun, and her sister. It was good times overall, but today was a lot of traveling back, and it is not fun to travel on Labor Day, ladies and gentlemen. Traffic wasn't as bad as I expected, though.
Yeah, it was, was that before or after the massive thunderstorms that came rolling in here?
That was before. Home, safe and sound.
Safe and sound. Joey, unfortunately, I do have a confession before we hop into this. We talked about it last week. It was a subject that we talked about on the podcast about WoW Classic and how I'm not going to be playing WoW Classic. I am playing WoW Classic. I hate to admit that, but I am, and I'm actually enjoying it. It reminds me of when I was playing WoW way back in Wrath of the Lich King days. So yeah, I'm actually enjoying it quite well, and you should start playing WoW Classic also. Fun fact, WoW Classic is under 5 gigs as a game.
Oh,
how absurd
really?
Is that? It's absolutely absurd. It's under 5 gigs.
So wait, what is it again? It's no expansions, or it is expansions up until a point?
No, it is just straight up vanilla World of Warcraft. It's like what the original game was when it came out in 2004.
Okay.
Yeah, 2004. And it's great. You don't get a mount until level 40. You have to walk everywhere. And it has that, it feels like what World of Warcraft should be. It doesn't baby you around. It feels like an MMORPG again. So a lot of people are excited about it. I know a ton of people have been playing on. In fact, I launched my Blizzard client the other day before I hopped back on of a WoW Classic. And everyone that I play Overwatch with was on WoW Classic instead. So I was like, you know what? I'll bite the bullet. I'll pay $15 for the month pass. We'll see how I feel. And I have a character at level 15 already, Joey. I might have a problem.
Wow, that's totes adorable there, sir. So let me ask, are they not going to add anything to this game? It is now WoW Classic forever, this vanilla version?
We don't know. We don't know.
Okay.
So first, before we go any farther, I want to invite the nation to make sure they follow along, not just with this conversation right now, but on social media, because I'm going to be talking about it quite a bit. But make sure you're following the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Level Up Podcast. It's at the LVLUP Podcast. And on Twitter, you can follow Joey and myself as well, Joey at Courtside King and myself at Fiasco. If you're watching on Twitch, those beautiful mugshots you're staring at, yeah, hi, that's us. And below those shots, there, at least that's where mine is, Joey's is over there. Yeah, those are our handles. If you're listening to the podcast later on down the road, they'll be in the show notes for you as well. But Joey, just to follow up on the WoW Classic thing, two minds here, two different schools of thought is it's going to stay basic vanilla WoW, or, and I'm going to give a shout out to Chipmunk and the OTN server for coming up with this theory, and I really do like it. Roll the expansions out up to Wrath of the Lich King, because that's really when the peak population of World of Warcraft really was as high as it was. After that, when Cataclysm came around, that's when they started to drop off, and the expansions after that have been really controversial and just really, for the overall fan base, a negative experience. Chipmunk's idea is to release a whole different set of expansions for Classic WoW, taking the universe in a different direction.
Ooh. Okay.
After Wrath of the Lich King. And my argument, and the reason why I agree with it, is because everything up to Wrath of the Lich King was full circle in the Warcraft world. If you played the original Warcraft games up to Warcraft 3, going up to Wrath of the Lich King where you defeat the Lich King, that is literally the entire Warcraft universe in a nutshell for most of it.
Mm.
The major storyline. And then everything after that has been really weird coming out there. Pandaria was a little weird. Legion, a lot of people were not happy with. BFA, Battle for Azeroth, a lot of people are not happy with that one. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see what they end up doing with it. But as of right now, if you have not given Classic a try, try it out. You only need the game time. You don't have to purchase the game itself. You only have to have the game time to play. And again, Joey, it's under 5 gigs. I believe it's like 4.4 gigs to play that game. It's absurdly small.
It is tempting. I'm curious because I was never around during that time either. So I'm kind of curious, like, what races are available, what the actual lore was at that point. Because, I mean, I've played through it to a degree, I guess, with Battle of Azeroth. I got to, I don't know, what did I play up to? Like, level 60 or something on my first character before the level 100 one? I think I had just got to Wrath of the Lich King content.
Yeah, yeah. The one you were leveling up, you pretty much went to Wrath of the Lich King content, and then you used your level boost on a different character.
Right.
To get the BFA and Legion content.
My panda.
When BFA came out. Yeah, your panda. Hey, it's okay. I still love my Void Elf. But I will say this. It feels great playing as Horde again and not having the guilt that is whatever Sylvanas is trying to do in BFA. Because it's not nice. And a lot of people are not happy. And they feel very conflicted with what she's doing. And that's essentially what forced me to roll an Alliance character. And it slightly killed me a little bit.
So, last question, so we can get to the rest of the show. if I were to subscribe at a monthly rate of this $15 mm-hmm. or $14.99, whatever it is, does that get you WoW Classic as well as access to the current client?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So,
that's a good move.
If you already have the expansions in the WoW universe purchased, awesome, cool, you get that also. You also get access to WoW Classic in addition to everything else. So while I haven't re-downloaded everything for World of Warcraft, just the entire product line. I believe they're calling it commercial World of Warcraft versus vanilla World of Warcraft. Hmm. I haven't re-downloaded all those expansions, even though playing Classic is kind of making me want to play my Void Elf again and kind of play that content out a little bit more. Maybe do a Horde character and try to get that side of the story a little bit more just from what the cutscenes are. But it is making me want to play it again. And Classic is scratching that itch, but it's making me want to dive even deeper into grammar, English, into that lore again. So it's intoxicating in a good way.
I petitioned. I think we should petition to call it Strawberry World of Warcraft or Strawberry WoW, mainly because of the red fire of the tree that Sylvanas set on fire, the blood of all the elves that she shed. I think there's plenty of reasons that Strawberry could work here.
See, and that's why as someone who has always played Horde up until BFA, when Sylvanas went off on this absolute horrific demonstration of power, it's really sad and it hurts a little bit. Yes, chat and Twitch is giving me a hard time about my incorrect grammar. I appreciate it, chat. Thank you. but Nation, don't worry. We're not going to be talking about World of Warcraft anymore after this part, after the opening segment. We're not going to be talking about BFA or any of the World of Warcraft lore or anything. But we do have other topics we want to touch on. Joey, for the 140th time, I'm curious, what in the world are we talking about?
John, it's a little bit of a lighter week this week. We recorded, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday last week, so a little lighter on the content, but we still have quite a bit on the plate. We have a battle royale of roster moves this week. The future of Lucio is on the line. Revving up our chainsaws for the release of Gears 5 this week, as well as recapping the G2 FNC series in the LEC playoffs.
All right, Joey, I'm actually not looking forward to this next segment. It is that time-honored tradition passed down from generation to generation. Of course, I'm talking about the drink of choice. I will straight up let you know, I do not have alcohol today, especially after the, so it's Labor Day. It's Labor Day here in the United States, so we're supposed to be taking it easy, celebrating. I'm honestly not quite sure. I believe it's the labor movement that occurred, but it's a day where you don't work, and I put my liver to work this morning, so I'm going to let it calm down a little bit. But yes, it's time for the drink of choice, Joey. Your beverage, please, and I swear if it's milk sugar again, I'm quitting the show right now.
No milk sugar, but nothing exciting either. I drank quite a bit this weekend, had a nice little dabble here and there, but overall, dabble. I'm exhausted right now, and I'm falling asleep, so no beer tonight. I'm drinking water with lemon, because I was not allowed to drink coffee, according to the wife tonight.
Why were you not allowed? You know what? We'll wait till after the recording, because I have a feeling there's a great story about it. Joey, I am in my amazing Rock the Red Stanley Cup Champion Cup from Capital One Arena celebrating the Washington Capitals. I have a Coke Zero. Why? because it doesn't have alcohol in it, and it will help my stomach feel better.
Will it though? Will Coke Zero really help your stomach? Don't you think like ginger ale might be a better choice?
I do not have ginger ale, Joey. Simple as that. And I did not have enough time driving back from DC to make it here in time for this show to stop and buy some groceries.
Wow. The sacrifices.
The sacrifice for this. So, Joey, there's no alcohol on the show today, so I expect a clean show. No mistakes, no hiccups, no slurred words, no more bad grammar. We're through the intro. It is time for gaming and e-sports news. Let's go!
Kicking things off with that flag in your background, Cloud9, they are re-entering the PUBG mobile scene. The squad will consist of Uneven, Beowulf, it's Perkasas, and Pyramip, I believe is how the last one's pronounced. This team will debut at the end of September for the title's fall split. John, I still don't have a ton of faith in the PUBG mobile scene. I feel like, yeah, it's taken off a bit in Asia. It's got some success over there, particularly in China. I just don't see this as the grandest of titles, but C9 re-entering.
Yeah, I really don't see mobile games in general just doing that well. I mean, we had a Clash Royale League. I haven't tuned in since the very first night that thing went down, and down it went in one night. I believe, after 4 hours of technical difficulties, they finally launched their stream, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning, it felt like, on East Coast. It was bad. Overall, it was just a bad experience. Mobile games are tough to produce on the same level that we see from Overwatch League, League of Legends with the LCS, LEC, the LCK, the LPL, you name it. It's really hard to do that from a mobile standpoint. It's difficult. It's entertaining to play, but not really to watch. And I know there's mobile gamers out there, and I feel you. I understand it's a interesting segment of the gaming population. I get it. But I just don't see mobile gaming being the future of produced esports on Twitch or on YouTube or anything like that. So it is interesting that Cloud9 is re-entering the scene, especially when the mobile esports scene, to me, just isn't really stacking up to anything else in the esports scene at the moment.
No, and it's honestly not even close, to be completely honest. I mean, maybe in China, Asia in general, but China specifically is very, very strong in the mobile scene. When it comes to mobile games in general, I think the advantage is competitive tournaments online, where you and I can just pick up and play like a Clash Royale game and work our way through a tournament, kind of like what we see in League of Legends with Clash now. That's very easy to get into as a mobile perspective because so many people have mobile devices. When it comes to the esports scene, though, I don't see the appeal to tuning in and watching a kid on an iPad or a phone tap on a screen standing up at a podium. It doesn't quite do it for me. And at least with Clash Royale, they also had the funky camera angle, where it was not horizontal, vertical. It was up and down, and it didn't make sense unless you're going to put advertisements on the side or you're going to make some use of that space as opposed to just a blank bar or a blue background or whatever they had at the time. Like John, I have not tuned in since opening night. So it obviously did not pull us in. Vainglory was probably the best example of successful mobile games in NA for a while, but then they decided, hey, let's go from being a 3v3 MOBA to being a 5v5 MOBA like every single other game out there, and let's just compete with League of Legends and Dota 2 and Heroes of the Storm at the time, which is no longer around, but probably still doing better than Vainglory. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me to have this mobile esports scene, at least in this sense. I like the idea of seeing John work his way up through a Clash Royale tournament, and then they fly players out. Maybe at that point, orgs have a certain amount of time where they can sponsor John for that tournament or something like that. There's a talking period with orgs and players. But at least right now, this mobile scene just does not work in its current right.
What does this talk about flying me out for these tournaments? I don't even play these.
Well, I think a lot of Clash Royale and Clash of Clans are, it's like Finland or Sweden, wherever. I can't even think of the company. That's really bad.
I'd go to Sweden.
Shoot, Supercell, the big Supercell company. They make tons of successful mobile games, but you know what I mean? I would rather see someone work their way up, someone in chat tonight, just work their way up through a mobile game and make their way to a tournament that way. It's just seeing org sign these players, I just don't think there's enough of a competitive scene really there to pull in sponsors or viewership numbers on a regular basis. I think it's more of a way to engage with mobile gamers than it is to try to bring in viewers personally. At least for now. G2 Esports, another struggling esport title at the moment. Apex Legends, G2 has added a team into that. Apex Legends, it actually got canceled. It was supposed to stream on Disney or ESPN, one of those channels owned by Disney, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and ended up getting canceling because of some shootings that happened recently in the United States. At this point, it looks like Apex will still be continuing as an esport as plenty as it has and as Battle Royale titles have. But Apex is really still defining its scene to a degree. I think this was more of a one-off tournament than a seasonal-based tournament. And you and I have talked about this before with Battle Royale titles. Where is the success in them? Fortnite obviously finding a lot of success in their recent tournament in New York. At the same point, Apex has really lost its footing with the player base. It's not really as popular of a Battle Royale title as it was. A lot of those players going back to Fortnite at this point. My throat is going to die even without milk sugar. Good times. Hey, Labor Day. But you know what I mean overall? So, like, where is the success of this game? Where is Apex going to stand? G2 Esports, a prominent esport organization buying in. Fnatic has a team in Apex. I believe Team Liquid still has a team in Apex. Cloud9 probably does as well. A lot of prominent teams, but not really a huge scene out there yet.
Yeah, and you brought up Cloud9. Cloud9 actually dropped their Apex team a few weeks ago, including Grego, you know, a player that I followed since he was originally signed as an Overwatch support player for Cloud9 a couple years ago. It's tough. Apex is struggling. It's really struggling to get that foothold, you know, to get that setting, that footing that they originally had when the game originally launched. And it's sad because there's so much hype around this game. This game that had zero advertising, zero publicity until it released. It was a surprise release and it took the world by storm. And Fortnite's numbers started to dip and everyone saw the potential. And then after a month, nothing changed. The potential was gone. People went back to Fortnite. And this is even during the same time frame that popular Fortnite streamers in present day, you know, just, I think it was just a few days ago, Tfue came out saying Fortnite is a dying game. It's dying, the competitive scene. You know, Epic doesn't care about it. They have alternative motives, which is something a lot of people in esports have been saying for a while. Epic just doesn't care. It's evident that they don't care about the professional esports scene. It's interesting to see where they're going with that. It's interesting to see where the pro streamers are going to go with that. If they really do feel that way, what game are they going to jump to next? What is going to be the next big thing? But it almost sounds like, now sounds like viewership wise, not really, but it sounds like Fortnite might be starting to struggle with all the other Battle Royale titles out there, that the popularity might finally start to be coming down. But it's weird. Again, because organizations are still buying into Apex, but other organizations are bowing out. It's just, it's too random at this moment. Kind of like these games. It's too random to really put funding into to guarantee a return on your investment. It's tough for these organizations.
Right. And I think the big difference here with Fortnite and Epic in general that people don't realize, Epic doesn't necessarily want a esport scene for Fortnite. It wants a competitive scene. It wants a way for players to compete at the highest level, whether it be streamers, pro players. John from down the block, you're a great example tonight.
I am.
I just feel like there's a ton of, I guess you could say adversity there. Like, different people see different perspectives. Everyone thinks it should be like a traditional esport, like your League of Legends with organizations sponsoring it, like your CSGO, your Dota 2. But Fortnite and Battle Royales in general can't really fit that seasonal format. And I think that's where Epic is trying something different, but they're not ready to dive into esports. They like organizations, but they're not allowing orgs to really, I would say, represent themselves as much as they should be able to, or let players represent their orgs as much. Like, you can't have Fnatic in your name, or you can't have this jersey on when you're published online or when you're shown on a video online. Like, it's just, it feels like there's goofy rules around the scene because they want to keep it more on that competitive side, but not the competitive esports side. And I think that's where a lot of people get confused. At the same point, I don't care if it's competitive. I don't care if it's esports. I do care when the developer is making major changes before a major event. That, to me, still got to change, and it still hasn't. They've had to keep reversing these calls after streamers, after big players, after everyone goes after them. But they still haven't learned that lesson. It's like time number 7 now.
Yeah, and then they put in, and then they make decisions like putting in a gigantic brute. Or it reminds me a lot of Metal Gear from the Metal Gear Solid games. It's this gigantic robot mech that just absolutely demolishes buildings and everyone in there. It's incredibly OP. Like, if you're going to sit here and complain that airplanes, which actually took some skill to fly to shoot and you know, destroy your opponents, and if you're going to say that's OP but the brute isn't, I mean, it is absolutely absurd, some of these just maneuvers Epic does with this game to try to keep it fresh and up to date. Like, these ideas come out there, and then the pro streamers out there the big influencers absolutely trash these decisions, and Epic kind of walks it back a little bit, like a day before a major multi-million dollar tournament. It's just, it's head scratching. It's absurd that Epic doesn't care about their esports scene. They just want this like general competitive generic scene out there, but yet the esports scene is going to be the one that really can make this game even bigger. It's interesting.
I mean, I'm perfectly fine with a competitive scene. I'm fine with a competitive scene looking just like it did with their World Cup. I think that's perfectly fine. But the changes are what gets me. I think changing the map, changing the weapons, changing different things like that is fine. I don't think we need to go crazy with the vehicles. I feel like when you start adding vehicles in, it kind of changes the game and the landscape of the game, as well as the competitive integrity of it. Because it's one thing to get a random shotgun here where you jump down in prison, but it's something else to end up with a tank or a helicopter or whatever the heck they end up adding later down the road, or in this case, a mech. Like, that is such a game changer. The shotgun, definitely, but at the same point, a vehicle feels like it changes it even more. And that, to me, at least from the competitive side, ends up taking way too much integrity away. And all the streamers and players agree with me. So that's what we're seeing here with Fortnite. Back to Apex, though. The team for G2 will consist of Mimu, Zero Nothing, and Rhett. I do think Apex will have a bit of a rebound. I don't think it'll ever hit the numbers it hit in its launch time from that February to mid-March range. At the same point, John, I do think Apex finds its way back a little bit once it gets its season pass ironed out a bit, once Fortnite makes a few more of these mistakes and players decide to permanently change over, similar to what we saw with Ninja switching from Twitch to Mixer as well. I think certain stuff like that will happen in the future, and that will help Apex out. At the same point, I think it's kind of hit its, I would say, peak, at least from the casual side of play, but the competitive side might have room to grow since the tournament scene is just getting started for them. 100 Thieves, they've announced they will not be entering in, or they will be entering into the CSGO scene, but will not be entering into the Call of Duty League. This is a big one for me, John. Call of Duty is the game that I kind of made my name for myself on in Xbox. I was very good at it, had a very strong team. But when I came down to it, my question moving forward from title to title was, how do I develop as a player and how does my team develop if the maps change every year or every 2 years? If the guns change every year or 2 years? Yeah, I can be a great Call of Duty player, but will that translate at the highest level from scene to scene? Call of Duty is now taking it to a Call of Duty Pro Scene League. They've always had a pro scene that's always rotated from title to title, but now they're franchising it. If I'm a franchise owner looking to put $25 to $50 million down on a team, my question is, well, how do I build a fan base with players constantly changing from title to title, potentially? I was about to use you as an example again. But if player A ends up being really good at Call of Duty World of War or whatever it's going to be at that time, but then Call of Duty Modern Warfare comes out, I don't remember the actual order of that. But from title to title, it just can be completely different. And going from like a World War II setting to a Modern Warfare setting, those are completely different guns. Like, it's one thing to switch from an M16 to an M16A or something like that, but when you're switching from old-timey guns that take an hour and a half to reload to a mass automatic gun, like, I mean, there's just so many differences to me. And with three different developers working on Call of Duty, unless they're really in sync, I just don't see this being that successful, or unless they stick with a certain title for a long amount of time.
Yeah, and the real sad thing here is Nade Shot, who's pretty much the head honcho there for 100 Thieves, made his name also in Call of Duty. That's what he's known for. And it's really sad that this organization isn't going to be able to continue that legacy. I mean, this is a fairly new esport organization that has done incredibly well for themselves in the short amount of time they've been around. They have taken their time expanding. They've developed a name for themselves. They've developed a brand. And it's really difficult because, if you didn't watch Nate Shot's video as to why they're not joining the Call of Duty League, it's actually heartbreaking when you think about it. Like, you can see the pain on his face. You can hear it in his voice. It actually means a lot to him. And I do believe him. I do believe that they sat down as an organization with their board of directors, with the owners, and try to find some way to make it work. But it is incredibly difficult for a brand new org that hasn't even been around for 5 years. I believe they've only been around for, what, a year, 2 years max?
It's been a couple, probably three or four.
And they haven't been around that long. They're still technically considered a startup. They don't have that kind of money that they can throw $20, $30, $40, $50 million down on an idea. On an idea of the Call of Duty League being a regionally based esport league, kind of like Overwatch League. Overwatch League is still a gamble. We're not sure what the return on investment is for that. And now Call of Duty is going to try to do the same thing. You know, is Nadeshot ready? Is 100 Thieves ready to plant their flag down in a city and say, this is our city? This is our city that we want to represent. They're not going to be able to use their name. We see that in Overwatch League also. Cloud9 owns the London Spitfire. They do not operate one bit under the Cloud9 name. Cloud9 is their parent organization, but there's no Cloud9 anything anywhere. That's what they're going to see with 100 Thieves. 100 Thieves is more than just an esport organization. Nadeshot went way in depth with this, and I really do appreciate him for his transparency and his willingness to share that. 100 Thieves is more than just an esport organization. It is a brand. It is a clothing line. It is a lifestyle. So I applaud them for that, and it's a smart decision. I do struggle to see how some organizations can buy into these leagues. But with that being said, I'm glad to see they're not completely leaving that genre of game. I do like the fact that they're going to be joining CSGO. I think that's going to be great for them. The CSGO scene is strong and still growing. There's a lot of hype around it still. So really excited to see 100 Thieves back in the CSGO scene as well.
Right. And I actually didn't watch the video, so bad on me. So I didn't look at all that. But I think if I'm picking a city as 100 Thieves, I look at Cleveland. One of your majority owners of 100 Thieves is the majority owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers as well. So I think that gives you a really good arena base to kind of start off, as well as a fan base to kind of integrate with. At the same point, like I said, there's just too many question marks for me with the Call of Duty League. I think it's also telling that so few Overwatch League teams have bought in so far. I think it's only about 7 that have bought in. So a little bit of question marks coming from the Overwatch League owners as well. They just bought into a huge other league with a giant payment of around 20 to 40 mil on average, I would say. So now you're looking at trying to pay them out with another few million to come out of this. And not only a few million, but we're looking at 15 to 25 million. I think the spot's around 20 million, 25 million, if I remember correctly. So it's definitely not a cheap venture either. And you're taking a risk. Like you said, like Nadeshot said, attaching yourself to a city is one thing, but also just looking at all the other aspects that come with this. Because if they do change this title and you have to switch out all your players because player A is not very good at the new game, that kills the fan base. If your whole fan, like Reckless, for example, let's say League of Legends change every few years. Fnatic is so heavily built around Reckless right now. They have a great fan base outside of that, but so many fans are there for Reckless. If they get rid of Reckless because he's not good at League of Legends 2.0, that team, that organization looks completely different. I mean, you could lose, I don't know how many fans, but let's say it's 1/32nd of a fan base, which is huge for a million fans. I mean, you lose a huge portion of fans just to follow Reckless, and then maybe the team doesn't do as well, and you lose another giant portion of fans. Like, eventually it's going to add up, especially if you have to change players based on that, or if you end up sticking with the players and those players aren't as good at that new title, well then, yeah, you keep some of the fan love, but you also stop winning games, which gets you to the prize pools. So there's just so many back and forth on this, and unless they come out and say, we're going to stick with this Call of Duty game for 5 years. I need like a longevity, like 3 to 5 years at the very least, where we'll stick with that one game as the competitive scene. And then the players get it maybe, I don't know, 6 months early or something like the Overwatch did, where they can practice with it to kind of get the pro players up to a high level. Then we're talking. But until you tell me exactly what this is going to look like, there's no way you're getting any money from me. Nor do I have 25 million laying around to give anyway.
Yeah. And like, you know, just to follow up on that too, it's like, you know, the thing that makes League of Legends work so well is the fact that it is the same basic game. And I say basic, realizing it's a very complicated game, but it's the same basic game every time you log on. And then the only differences are small or major meta changes. Like when ADCs did not exist, when you're literally getting a second top laner and running them in the ADC position just because they absolutely nerfed ADCs into the ground, you know, it was kind of a meme. It was kind of a joke when you see all these ADCs hanging out with each other on vacation because there's nothing that they can do. It wasn't that fun to watch. People want to see Sneaky. They want to see Reckless. They want to see Doublelift. They want to see big-name ADCs play these games. That's where these meta changes come in. That's what Call of Duty honestly needs to do. They need to develop a legitimate title, a solid base game that they make meta changes to, that they make small patches to, and just expand that game, kind of like what we're seeing with, you know, like CSGO. They don't change the game. They may introduce new maps here and there, but overall the game is still the same. That's what you can do. You make those meta changes. But if Call of Duty is still going to go down that road of every 2 years, you're going to release a completely new title and you're going to change the entire scene, just like you said, Joey, it completely changes everything. Those players you have on your roster may not be able to compete at the same level in the new game. And yeah, the idea of taking an hour and a half to load up one of those old-timey guns explains why World War II went on for so long, Joey.
I mean, I feel like if you're going to do it with a title, make it Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at this whole series, Call of Duty Modern or Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare and Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 and 3, those were by far the most played games based on my knowledge, which could be completely wrong. But I feel like Call of Duty 4 had the best scene, at least from my experience. On top of that, the killstreaks were so much more simplified back then. I knew you could call a UAV, I knew you could call an airstrike, and I knew you could call a helicopter. There was not 20 to, who knows, 60 killstreaks nowadays with the different trees. Like, in order for this to become an esport as well, I think you have to simplify the killstreaks. I think 3 to 6 is your great range, in my opinion. You can't have all this crazy stuff. Because if there's just so many things happening, me as a viewer am going to be so confused. Even if I play Call of Duty casually, I'm just not going to know every single killstreak, nor am I going to know all these OP killstreaks that just completely obliterate the map and then a team wins because of it. So I feel like they really need to simplify it. I like UAVs. They add tactical edges to it. Airstrikes as well, very tactical. Yes, they can do some damage, but you can also use them because people can hear them incoming, so you can kind of play out the map and say, I'm going to throw an airstrike here. We'll know we'll be able to move through it and get our little speed boost because no one else can get in there. They can end up taking an objective out of that. They can end up finding a way in to move their team forward for a team battle. Like, I mean, there's just so many different objectives to this, and I just... the killstreaks really get me as well as the moving titles because I think that's just too complicated, especially for an average viewer. The other thing, and Activision will never agree with me on this, I think you make Call of Duty free-to-play. I think free-to-play titles will always do better at esports than competitive titles that are paid for up front. You look at even Overwatch. I think Overwatch would be on a whole nother level right now had they been free-to-play up front. They've offered great discounts. A lot of people have bought in since then. But if you do it free-to-play like League of Legends, like Dota 2, I think that scene starts off so much bigger than it currently is. And Overwatch has, in a sense, missed that opportunity. If you make it free-to-play now, you piss a lot of people off, most likely. But then again, that also means we can have friends who aren't willing to pay that $20 to $40 to jump in that might be willing to jump in if it does go free-to-play at this point. So for me, I say if you really want this to work well, you make a Call of Duty Modern Warfare title, you make it free-to-play, you put it on PC and all the consoles, you say everyone gets cross-play and cross-platform, which a lot of the stuff they are doing, but they are still charging the $60 price tag. That, to me, is going to handicap them if they really want to make this a huge esport. That's my two cents as a former Call of Duty player that's a little salty with the 30,000 killstreaks that you can get in games nowadays. Even though I have hit some of the highest ones, it's just, yes, it's appealing, but it's also, as an esport, it's too complicated for the average viewer to watch, in my opinion. And if I'm looking at it from that lens as opposed to the player lens, I think that's a really big issue for Call of Duty trying to grow out this scene. Okay. I'm heated on that. I think CSGO is a great move for 100 Thieves as well. Like John said, CSGO has been around forever, it feels like. The game has just been going and going and going. It is a huge viewership population in Russia in particular, and the viewership numbers have not been bad at all over here in North America. So that's one of those scenes that just continues to grow. Europe is another big contender with some of the top teams over there. I really like the CSGO scene, and I think they do a good job with their niche of having tournaments as well. Seasonal formats work really well for MOBAs. I think they could work well for CSGO, but because it's such an older game, because so many tournament providers are out there that have hosted tournaments, I think it works to keep it in the tournament format. This is the same format we would like to see Battle Royales in here at the Level Up Podcast. But overall, 100 Thieves has had issues with the CSGO scene before. We've talked about them previously on the show. They did end up disbanding their previous team due to a number of different issues. But, John, they're back. And at least me, I think they're going to come back in here stronger. They're going to build a better foundation. They're going to show fans why they went this route as opposed to Call of Duty, and they'll make this team work.
Yeah, and if there's anyone in the esports industry that knows the FPS scene, it's Nate Schott. He knows exactly what he's going to be doing here. And I think 100 Thieves are going to be an organization that is going to really, really help advance the CSGO scene and really shake things up with that organization coming into the scene again.
Chad is talking about CSGO, and I actually want one of the players he's talking about to go to Fnatic, but we'll see what happens. Partnerships. The Overwatch League has announced a multi-year deal with the Kellogg Company. Heyo, does that mean we have Lucy O's more in the future, John? In 2019, the partnership will kick off with Cheez-It Grooves and Pringles Wavy, sponsoring the halftime show and highlights of the 2019 Grand Finals later this month in Philadelphia. In fact, we will most likely be there. On top of that, the 2019 portion of the deal will also include a one-day sampling of Cheez-It and Pringle products. One-day sampling, you know, that's real special. I guess you'll just be eating Cheez-Its and Pringles all day, but hey, it's a one-day sampling, and we will not turn that down. And a viewing of the Overwatch League 2019 Grand Finals on September 29th across 1,000 Walmarts. Yes, the Walmarts that no longer sell Overwatch as well. Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Good times. So 2019, what are your thoughts overall? I think this is a good introduction. They get a little name segment area. You get this one-day tasting thing. But I think the big winner, honestly, is the fact that they'll be streaming it across the Walmarts. So not only will it be televised on probably ESPN or Disney or one of those channels, but you'll also have it streaming throughout multiple stores.
All right. I don't understand why we're so hyper-focused on Walmart. I know they're putting those like gaming cafes in Walmart. I have yet to see one. Like, actually in person anywhere in the D.C. metropolitan area. Granted, there's like 800 Walmarts around here, it feels like. Have yet to actually seen one in person. Not quite sure, you know, are they still doing that? You know, if they're banning all these shooter games already, why are you going to have an esports center that most of the fancy titles that people want to play have guns and violence in it? So it's really weird with this whole Walmart push. Cool, fine, showed up Walmart, that's great. That just means, you know, Slasher gets more boomers on Twitter complaining about esports taking over their televisions. I'm fine with that. It's great entertainment. I like it.
Well, now wait a minute. I need to jump in for a second. So I'm guessing they're going to play this in the electronics section, right? Is where the TVs would be in this Walmart, at least I would assume.
It'd be in the electronics section.
But now, so what are they selling in the electronics section? They're selling TVs. No video games, so half of the electronics section is now empty. I mean, what's going to bring me over to the electronics section at this point? The dad trying to buy a TV?
Yeah, but the dad trying to buy a TV isn't going to really care what esports look like on their television.
Exactly. That is my opinion as well.
So it's like, it's a weird push. It's a weird flex to sit here and say, oh, Walmart is going to be our big Overwatch League push. It just... to me, it doesn't make sense. The people who watch Overwatch League, if they're going to be looking for a television, they might be looking for a TV that has like a Roku built into it or some kind of streaming service already pre-built into the TV that they can get Twitch or YouTube or Caffeine or Mixer or whatever streaming service you want to go with on that TV. That's what they're probably looking for. They're not really going to care, you know, oh, does this 80-inch TV play Blu-rays well, or am I going to be able to watch Wheel of Fortune on my 80-inch TV on my direct TV and all of a sudden? No, like it's a weird push. I don't understand the Walmart push here, and especially after they just stopped selling these games too. It's weird. It just doesn't make sense to me. But I do like the Kellogg partnership. I do like the Lucio idea for the cereal. I think that's great. I still have yet to get my hand on a box, but I have seen them before, so I can confirm those do exist. But I'm curious to see what Kellogg does with this partnership even more. I think video game-themed food is always going to do well. It attracts people, and if there's one thing gamers are known for, it's snacking while gaming. And if you can make a healthy cereal or a... or not healthy, because, you know, stereotypes, you know, chips, you know, you make a Pringle that, you know, has Mercy flying on it, healing Genji as he's flying off the walls screaming, I need healing. you know, there's so much to do here, and I like it. And the one day sampling, that just cracks me up. But it's good. It's a way to kind of reintroduce yourself to a population that may have grown up with your product, but it's kind of fallen off as they've gotten older. You know, maybe into their teenage years, early 20s, where they just don't pay attention to that kind of stuff yet or anymore. than when they did when they were younger. So it's a new way to introduce themselves back into the community. So I do like that. But the whole Walmart thing is still a weird push.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Kellogg's doesn't have any kind of exclusive deal with Walmart, right?
No, I don't think they do.
And so I don't know of any. I mean, I'm not a huge cereal eater at this point, but I don't feel like they have anything like that. I feel like I've seen it at other stores like Target, Kmart, yeah. Whatever else is out there. Giant. So, yeah, I'm just this. It kind of eludes me, to be completely honest, especially with Walmart's recent push about video games and taking violent video games out of the store because, yeah, Overwatch doesn't show any blood, but there is shooting. There is smashing with hammers. There is violence in the game, if you want to say so. So I'm curious to see how this all plays out, especially if video games are not back in their stores at this point. Honestly, I haven't been to a Walmart since that announcement, so I can't tell you if they're back in there or not. So yeah, good times. Cheez-It grooves, Pringles wavy, hey-o. Like you said, John, I hope if this goes anyway, I hope we see exclusives. I want to see new Overwatch-created snacks, whether it be cereals like Lucy O's, whether it be something new and different, like you mentioned, the I Need Healing. I mean, there's just so many different plays you could play off of things to make it a snack. Like, I Need Healing would be a really good, like, vitamin water type of thing, I feel like, personally. Just some way, you know what I mean? Like, you can get creative, and I am not creative right now because I am exhausted. But at the same point, I do like this move overall, and I think we'll see good things come out of it. In 2020, Kellogg will release co-branded sweepstakes, merchandise, and packaging for both Cheez-It Grooves and Pringles Wavy products featuring the Overwatch League branding. This is simple. We've seen it 100 times before. Gears of War is doing it right now with Rockstar. They end up just plastering the game or plastering characters from the game on different products. This is nothing new. I think it's a good move by Overwatch League. In particular, by doing this move, I want to see not only your Mercy and your Genji on there, but I want an Overwatch League logo, maybe a team logo. Maybe you do packaging that's branded for the Washington Justice and then the Guangzhou Charge, different things like that in certain areas across the country. Like if Washington had a Washington Justice Cheez-Its, I think that is the way to go personally. I don't want just a Cheez-It bag with Mercy on it. Like, okay, yeah, it's Overwatch. What brings me to Overwatch League is going to be team recognition or it's going to be Overwatch League logo recognition. I think that's really the way that they need to capitalize on this.
Yeah, and why not add, you know, when you buy a Cheez-It product that is Overwatch League themed, you also get 25 Overwatch League tokens. You get a code that you get to put into the game. Do that. They used to do that all the time. Like, I believe even Coca-Cola products still have that, you know, Coke rewards. Like, when you buy a bottle of Coke or a 12-pack or whatever, there's a code in there you put in there. You can get free stuff for it, for buying that product. Do that also. Make that connection to the game. A lot of people that watch Overwatch League play Overwatch themselves, you know? So it just makes sense, and I feel like Kellogg's is going to be the one to lead the way, kind of reopening this door going forward for that relationship between food and gaming.
Amen, sir. Upcoming Gears of War esports. So we've talked a bit about it, John. We talked about how this scene's going to expand with Gears 5, and you and I have already talked about how we think the ceiling is very limited for this game. Did I just freeze, by the way?
You did a little bit, okay. Yeah.
I was going to say my voice thing just dropped to red. So overall, Gears of War, we've talked about the ceiling. It's going to be limited because of the violence and the gore in the game, the mature rating as well. It's never going to be a top-tier esport. At the same point, they are trying to expand out the competitive scene, and I am curious to get your thoughts as well as chats on this. So overall, at the same point, Gears is launching this scene. A number of viewers have really liked the game so far. They think it's going to be very strong campaign-wise, very strong multiplayer-wise. A lot of people saying it's the strongest versus in multiplayer history for Gears of War. So with that being said, they're looking to do a competitive scene similar to like a Fortnite lineup, I would say. Any player has the option to sign up and compete. So I have so many options to use your name tonight. We'll go with Player A again. Player A is out here. He's playing Gears of War. He plays really well. He ends up finding a squad. He works his way up. And now he has the option to work his way all the way up to get flown out to tournaments. So if you do really well, if your team does really well, they will actually fly you out to different events throughout the world. It's going to be an NA region, a Central America region, Europe, Asia, and now South America. So they are expanding their regional ship. On top of that, they will, like I said, pay for all travel coverage and all major expenses for these international events if you work your way up there. Now, in addition to that, these players that work their way up will have an option of attending 3 major events if they make it, leading to a world championship as well as a number of other regional events throughout their particular regions. This is your competitive scene. This is what Fortnite does right now, in a sense. It is saying any player can work their way up to a high competitive scene and work their way to a prize pool. This is option A, or really section A, the beginning of Gears Esports, because there is a second section where they do have a pro league as well. Overall, what are your thoughts on this competitive league for this first part?
I like it. It's an opportunity. So the idea of esports being open to everyone is great, because at times it feels like the upper echelon of esports getting noticed, working your way up to the pro scene, is incredibly luck based. Who you know, how you get involved with the scene, so on and so forth. It doesn't feel like you can actually work your way into that upper echelon to be a pro. When you open it up like this, it gives that opportunity. It gives that hope. When Overwatch League, you know, came out and said, "Hey, we're going to do combines. We're going to open it up, saying if you're X rank and above, we're going to bring you in. We're going to do some combines. We're going to do a scouting kind of opportunity." That's kind of what is their version of this for Gears 5, is you're going to be able to play from your own comfort of your home up to a high level of this game, and then have like these combines, these scouting opportunities, these tournaments, if you will, to be recognized. That gives you that incentive. You know, it's hard enough to get recognized in the esport industry as it is. And when you take a look at like League of Legends, where it feels like the same players just get recycled between teams all the time, you kind of feel like there's no way that you can break into that scene. Gears 5, with this mentality, with this format, is going to allow for players to work their way up and break through into that pro scene with this method. And I really do like it. I think it's a great precedent that they can set going forward for other titles as well.
Right. I'm right there with you, John. I think this is a great idea. Like I said, it's not the first one to do this. Fortnite really has done a great job with this model so far. But I think what Gears has is the next step, what we're not currently seeing in Fortnite. And I like this part as well. So if you do really well at these events, there will also be a pro league that you can move your way into. So new for Gears 5, the very best teams from North America, Central America, and Europe. So not every region yet. They are piloting it with these three major regions. You can qualify for an online pro league. In addition to guaranteed prizing for qualifying, every pro team will automatically be provided with travel coverage as well to the major events. So these are your traditional pro teams, your Team Liquid, your Cloud9, your Fnatic, the teams that pay their pro players to play regularly in a particular title. And if John plays well enough in those tournaments, working his way all the way up, then he can end up moving into the pro league. It is going to be a... I just forgot the word. What's it in like European soccer? Relegations. So there are going to be relegations like we previously saw in League of Legends. So teams that qualify for the pro league will be removed from regional ladders and will be ineligible for weekly online tournaments. So if your team does really well at a regional level, they can move all the way up to this pro scene, but then they cannot play in the regional tournaments. They can only play in the majors and the regular pro league on a weekly basis at that point. On top of that, throughout the season, the amateur teams will have the opportunity to break into the pro league. So if John's team does extremely well, he can work his way all the way into the pro league, where then he will be paid completely for all that travel. He can participate in the online qualifications in the whole weekly seasonal format that we will see with Gears of War now heading into this new season, with the lowest ranking pro teams getting knocked out. Those are your Unicorns of Love, your Rock Hat, the teams that we've seen as bottom feeders previously in the League of Legends scene, CSGO as well, many different teams down there. I like the relegation format personally. It is very European in its approach. But I know you and I, John, we really like it because it keeps things fresh. And with option A for their esports league here and option B both combined, I think it works really cleanly with this, because it's not just a random team making its way up there. It's really teams that have fought throughout the whole season, not just a tournament, but have fought throughout the whole season to work their way up to get spots here in the pro league.
Yeah, and it gives another storyline to that season. It's boring. If you take the NFL, for example, it's boring when you talk about Tom Brady and the Patriots every year, because people have come to expect that team to be a dynasty. When you take a look at the LEC, for example, it's G2 and it's Fnatic. Everyone else after that is pretty much up in the air. There is no story. You add relegation in there, then all of a sudden, those teams in last place have a reason to play. Their spot in the top tier of esport is in jeopardy. That's what keeps you motivated to play these games. That's what keeps the people in the middle of the pack trying to play at the highest level that they possibly can to get better and not worse, because they don't have to face the possibility of relegation. And the organizations in the second tier gives them hope for the possibility of being promoted into the top tier for that esport, getting that exposure, getting that extra income, that extra revenue. There's so much that relegation brings to sport and esport in general that I feel like we're kind of missing it with franchising in a lot of these leagues. And again, I understand why they're doing it. I'm not saying it's wrong, but at the same time, when you're dead last in this in any league, what's the point of trying to get better when that season is already washed up? It's hard to justify when there isn't that additional pressure of, hey, we keep playing like this, we don't turn things around, then we have the opportunity to be relegated into, if take Overwatch, for example, to contenders. Why not do that? Food for thought. But no, I do like that idea, Joey.
Right, and I think franchising works for certain leagues like League of Legends and Overwatch League that have proven that they have the skill to last the test of time. Well, Overwatch League still being new, but we've seen a lot of growth for it in particular. And League of Legends has shown it can last the skill over time. CSGO has shown it as well. And I think franchising makes sense in those leagues because people can have a buy-in. You can really build around that based on building your prize pool out of that buy-in, based on the viewership rights, the sponsorships you attain. And it also gives stability for owners. I'm not going to pay a huge fee to get into a league if I know I can get relegated that same season. I think Gears of War is doing it right as a smaller scene. Again, I think bigger scenes, it makes sense to go the franchising route. As a smaller scene, it makes so much more sense to go this route. Allow for that excitement. Allow for players to really be invested in themselves and in their teams to kind of build their way up to this pro scene potentially. I think it just makes so much sense for this, especially with the ceiling being capped on Gears of War. We're never going to see this on mainstream television. It's never going to happen. Not only because it might not make it as popular as a League of Legends or CSGO, but because of the gore, the violence. All of that is going to hold it back from being a mainstream esport. You can't show that stuff on mainstream television. You cannot show someone chainsawing an alien-looking creature. It's just, it's never going to be done on mainstream television, at least to my knowledge in the near future. Maybe you can throw it up on some new channel that they end up throwing a label on. I don't know how you do it. Pay-per-view, if that's even still a thing. Like, it's just, I think it's capped. I think there is a ceiling on Gears of War. This allows players to have a fresh perspective, a new way to kind of build up that drive to continue checking out the esports scene, to continue bettering themselves in Versus. And at the same point, like you said, John, it gives the pros a reason to keep getting better. Not only do you have a chance at prize money, but you're saying, hey, you might not have a spot in this league if you don't play well enough.
Are you telling me I can't watch Gear 5 on Disney XD when this whole thing launches?
I do not think you'll see Gears on Disney.
Shame.
Yeah, it's just probably not going to happen. But overall, I like this idea. I don't know if I'll be a huge viewer of Gears Esports. I'm really excited for Gears 5. I'll be playing a lot of it. This will probably be the first one I really dive into Versus for. At the same point, I don't know if I quite see this taking off as a giant esport. I'll probably tune in here and there. If Fnatic gets a team, if TL, if Cloud9 gets a team, then I might become a bit more invested. But at the same point, there's a lot to this esports scene and a lot to this game that I still don't know yet. So I don't know if I'd be hugely invested, especially with not being streamed on TV either. Oh, you know another? No, I'm not going to dive into that. Yep, I was going to say Twitch or Mixer. I think they will be on both, but I could see them eventually doing some kind of Mixer deals because it is Microsoft owned. But we'll save that for a later discussion. Overwatch League. The playoffs started happening this past weekend, John. How did they go?
All right. Week one results on Friday, the 30th of August. It is September, Joey. I am still trying to comprehend that. The Hunters lose to the Charge 4-1, and the Dragons take the 4-2 win over the Fusion. Unfortunately, Philly's not going to be able to do anything, even though the Overwatch Championship is going to be in Philly. So that's going to be ironic there. Moving on to Saturday, the Dragons then face the Spitfire. Spitfire, all seven games, go in the distance. Spitfire take that 4-3. And the Dynasty putting a smackdown on the Charge 4-1, with the Spitfire and Dynasty now punching their ticket into Week 2. Nothing really too shocking when you really think about it. The Dragons versus Spitfire is a matchup that we had circled on our calendars last week as well, Joey. It lived up to the hype. It went all seven games. That is the power of Overwatch. That is the excitement level people can expect watching the playoffs here. So really, really excited with that matchup.
Yeah, I think the biggest surprise of anything is the fact that the Charge not only lost to the Dynasty, but lost 4-1. The Charge have come in as a really hot team in Stage 4. A lot of people expected them to keep that momentum going into the playoffs, and they did against the Chengdu Hunters, but then they really fell shy here against their Korean counterparts of the Seoul Dynasty. So Korea takes the win over China in this one.
Yeah, if you saw me looking behind on the Twitch stream, we're having a thunderstorm right now, and there was a really awesome just like shaking the entire house, like thunder strike or lightning strike or whatever we're going to call it. And so it was just kind of entertaining. I saw it even register through my microphone. It was actually kind of cool. So I don't know if you heard that or not, but that was kind
of
cool.
The big bad wolf of Woodbridge.
Yeah, seriously. Week two for the Overwatch League here. We have Thursday, September 5th, the Dynasty taking on the Vancouver Titans. That's going to be a spicy matchup. That is 7 p.m. Eastern time. And then the LA Gladiators taking on the Spark. That's 10 p.m. Eastern as well. That, again, that's Thursday. Friday, the 6th, is going to be the Spitfire versus the New York Excelsior. 7 p.m. Eastern as well. Atlanta Reign, 10 p.m., is going to go up against the San Francisco Shock. So some really good matchups here in week two of the playoffs for Overwatch League. There will be games on Saturday and Sunday as well, but those will be pending the outcomes of those four matchups. So definitely tune in for Overwatch League this weekend to find out who's punching their ticket to Philly to have the opportunity to hoist the Overwatch League trophy.
Okay, quick predictions here. Seoul Dynasty coming off a really hot win, or the Vancouver Titans, who have looked a little stale recently?
I kind of like the Dynasty. I'm going to play the hot hand here. You can't really ignore the Titans too much. They are still a very strong team, but the Dynasty look scary coming off a solid win against Shanghai. I'm going to take Dynasty for the upset here. I think it's going to go 7 games again. I'll take Dynasty 4-3.
I'm actually going to go Dynasty as well. I don't feel super confident doing it. I think Vancouver's a very strong team, but they showed they were shaky a little bit in Stage 4. Seoul, on the other hand, beat a really hot Charge team that I really liked and thought was going to go decently far. So I will go Seoul here. Would not be surprised if the Titans take it, though. Gladiators, Hangzhou, Spark.
Ooh, this is going to be good. I kind of want the Gladiators to win. I'm kind of pulling for them, but I think the Spark will take this one.
This is about as toss-up as you can get. Yeah. If I remember correctly, they are both right around the same record for Stage 4. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm going to go with the Gladiators here. I'll give them a little bit of a home team advantage. London Spitfire, New York Excelsior for Friday, September 6th. I will be going with the London Spitfire. The New York Excelsior are a great team. They always find a way to choke in playoffs. I think the Spitfire makes them choke here, and they continue on.
I agree with that statement as well, Joey. I think the Spitfire will take this one. I don't think it's going to go all 7 games, but I do think the Spitfire will win this one, probably 4-2.
Not too shabby. And that brings us to the Atlanta Reign up against the San Francisco Shock.
So this is going to be tough. The Reign have kind of rejuvenated themselves in Stage 4. They look really strong going into the 2-2-2 roll-lock meta that we're currently in. The Shock have been playing incredibly well throughout the entire season. They have some very, very strong DPS players, mainly Sinatra. He is an absolute stud on DPS. So I'm going to take the Shock on this one, defeating the Atlanta Reign. I'm going to stick with my 4-2 scoreline on this matchup as well.
A shocking choice, John. I will be going with the San Francisco Shock as well. Both these teams actually went undefeated in Stage 4. So these are the hottest teams in the Overwatch League right now. It is definitely worth the watch. If you're watching one matchup this week, the two Friday matchups are the way to go, in my humble opinion. I do think this will be a close one. I think Atlanta's going to put up a great fight. At the same point, I think the Pacific region is a little bit stronger in this area right now for playoffs. I do think San Francisco takes the win here. I think San Francisco is just too strong. Atlanta looked good in Stage 4, but the consistency that San Fran has shown throughout the whole league, Season 2, I think is just too much to overcome. So the Shock move on for me as well. With that, we had LEC action happen in League of Legends as well. Let's hop on over there. In the quarterfinals, John, for LEC, we had Schalke 04 with a 3-1 win over Rogue. I believe both you and I picked Rogue to win this one.
Yeah, we did. And Schalke really made us eat our words, and I'm not too happy with them. But yeah, kudos for Schalke punching their tickets into the semifinal.
And they'll be facing Fnatic in that semifinal because Fnatic fell to G2 3-2 in their series. Did you get a chance to catch this series at all?
I actually did not.
Oh,
I need to go back and watch the VOD.
That's a downer, sir. It was good. It was overall a really well-played series. Fnatic, just their mental game is not there, in my opinion. Fnatic went up actually 2-0 in the series. They looked very dominant through the first two games. In all honesty, they could have won games 3 and 4 pretty cleanly as well had they not made a few mistakes. At the same point, they ended up losing. G2 got the reverse sweep on them. They ended up winning 3-2 to move on. the biggest question for me with Fnatic, though, is after that Game 3 loss, yes, they were up. Yes, they could have closed that game out at some point. Yes, a few little mistakes here and there really changed the matchup. But when you look at Game 3 and how depressed Fnatic looked coming out of that Game 3, you knew the series was practically over at that point. They lost their mental game. They were not quite there, whether it be as individuals, whether it be as a team. Something went wrong in Game 3, and they looked stale coming out of that. If I'm the coach for Fnatic, I work on that mental game. I have someone come in. I think they actually have someone on staff. You work your way through that, because in-game, they did not look bad. They played well as individual players. I think the drafts are still off at times here and there. But G2 is the best team in the world, and that's the other thing. You just lost a game to the best team in the world, but you're up 2-0 on them. Yes, you can say, hey, South Korea is really good with your SKTs, with Griffin. They have very talented teams, don't get me wrong, but Europe smashed them at Worlds last year. Europe smashed them at MSI. When it comes down to it, Europe is one of the strongest regions right now, and I don't think you can have a loss against the best team in the world, arguably, end up dropping you down that far mentally. That, to me, is where the series went. I think Fnatic could have won it 3-1 after that, had they had a better mental game going into Game 4 of that series. At the same point, John, they looked deflated, and it did not look pretty. I believe we both, you took Fnatic 3-2. I took G2 3-1. You ended up getting the 3-2 right, and I ended up getting the G2 right. So together, we are flawless.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. G2 punching their ticket to the finals. Fnatic's going to have a chance to bounce back against Schalke. Joey, I don't think we predicted this one yet. Your prediction for the semifinal, can Fnatic find a way into the finals?
Yeah, if Fnatic can keep their mental game together, I think they come out of this series 3-1, if not 3-0. Dylan Falco, the previous coach of Fnatic, is much better at drafting, in my opinion, than Joey Youngbuck is. For Fnatic, I think Joey was a better team director than he was a drafter, but that is a whole other subject in and of itself. So for me, Schalke is going to come out. They're going to fight a little bit, but I think 3-1 in Fnatic, as long as they keep that mental game together.
Cool, and then we'll have the finals after that. So G2 versus the winner of Fnatic and Schalke. I think we're both taking Fnatic on that one. I don't think it's going to go 5 games. I do think Fnatic bounces back. I think it'll be 3-1 in favor of Fnatic. I think Schalke might take a game off of them. But yeah, we'll go with that.
I like it. And that will give us the beautiful rematch of G2 Fnatic, which has gone just about even in every matchup this year. So I hope we can get another 5-game series. At the same point, G2 could stomp them mentally if they cannot get their stuff together. Over in NA, I believe we talked about it last week, but the gauntlet is set over there. It is Clutch Gaming and FlyQuest. I want to say we both took Clutch Gaming out of this one. It was either 3-1 or 3-2. I'm not changing on that. Are you making any shifts?
Nope, I'm still taking Clutch on that. That game will be this Friday, September 6th. Best of 5 series there.
Perfect. And then I believe, if I'm correct, the LEC matchup takes place, yes, Saturday, September 7th. And then the winner of that, whether it be Fnatic or Schalke, will go on to play G2 on Sunday, September 8th. So really quick turnaround. Whoever loses in that 1-2 seed matchup in Europe, they have to end up playing your number 3 seed and then going on to play up against the potential winner, that 1-2 seed again. So a very trying weekend, one could say, for 2 best of 5 series. With that being said, John, I think that ends it. I think that is the end of esports for us this week. For having a lack of topics, we sure still found a way to go over 60 minutes this week. The editor will love it. We try to give him a shorter week, but hey, we love you, Joe.
Sorry, Joe. I know exactly what it was, Joey. It was the World of Warcraft talking at the beginning of the episode. It happens every time World of Warcraft comes up. I remember when we previewed BFA on the show. I think that segment was almost 20 minutes by itself.
Probably.
Joe, sorry, buddy. We appreciate everything you do. We tried to keep it short, but we failed miserably. Sorry. Well, Nation, that will do it for another episode of the Level Up Podcast. Before you go, head on over to patreon.com/OTN and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network. In return, you will get access to exclusive content that nobody else in the world can get, unless they are a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to the Level Up Podcast, let us know. Leave us a review on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, and comment on SoundCloud. That is a lot to do. So if you want to pick five. I'm not going to tell you what you can and can't do. We love to hear from our listeners so much. You don't have to leave us a review. We would appreciate it. But you can also reach out to us in other ways. Joey, where else can the nation go to interact with us in this show?
Level Up Nation, you can head on over to Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook and find us at the Level Up Podcast. That is the LVLUP Podcast. In addition to that, we stream regularly on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/OTN. Various streams throughout the week. John just did a great Life is Strange stream. Richard usually streams on Tuesdays. On top of that, Level Up Podcast Monday nights around 7:15 p.m.
All right, make sure you tune in next week as we cover the latest and greatest in gaming and esports news. Do your ears a favor, slap that subscribe button to know when the next episode of Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. We will catch you all next week. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online. And as always,
level up.
Level up. I was waiting there for you, Joe. I was waiting.
It's doing a little dancing this one.